If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
The Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Hello there.
Yay.
Yes, this is exciting. We're here again, and we're at spring.
Spring.
Well, almost spring. We have a few more days.
Yeah. Well, the time changed, so that's good enough for me.
It too, Brute. Yes, and still trying to get used to that time change.
Yeah. It does. It's a bummer to lose the hour of sleep, but it's so lovely to have the hour of daylight.
Yes.
I admit it. I love it.
Well, it's true. I mean, actually sitting here today, invariably we would be halfway through our show and the sunset that goes through my window blinds me. And
right.
So it's like now I know it's not going to happen. I don't get, you know, weird.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it is nice. So how was your week? Okay.
It's so funny. Every week we come to do the show, and the first thing we do is, how was your week? And every week I have to think, how was my week? Like, I'm not prepared for this question. It was pretty good. I went to my daughter's first softball game. It's still practice season, but that was kind of cool to see her do her thing for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to this weekend of doing nothing. Right?
Oh my goodness.
And weekend, I mean Saturday.
Yeah.
I work Sundays, but
yeah,
Saturday is my day off, and I'm looking forward to just having a day off. I kind of need one.
Yeah, I totally dig that one.
Yeah, and I feel like, oh, is that it? Is that all that's going on in my life? I have my calendar open right here. Like, really? But there was something. I have a coven that I've met with pretty regularly for a while now, and we had a ritual last weekend, and we did this group trance, you know, where we all go to the same place together and we talk about what we see and what's happening. And more than one occasion, I was having an experience, but I didn't verbalize it, and then someone else said exactly what I was witnessing or seeing or experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just came out of that. Of course, I've been doing this for a really freaking long time, for almost 25 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I came out of that experience just feeling so excited about practicing witchcraft, so excited, and like, oh, right, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing is real.
Yeah.
And it was very affirming, life-affirming, practice-affirming.
It was affirming.
Anyway, so that was pretty cool. I'm actually kind of crafting a whole blog post around, like, oh, yeah, this shit's real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you? How was your week?
Oh, gosh, full full of, you know, some mundane things, car stuff that needed to get taken care of so they could smog your car. Once again, we're in California, and we do have some pretty rigid issues around cars and their you know, registration renewals and stuff. I did find out, though, that be glad we're not in Pennsylvania or Utah. They do it every year.
Smogging.
Smog every year, and there's a whole series of things that they can hit you with at any time during that year.
Hmm.
Oh, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that made me a little more grateful that...
You only have to do it every other year.
Every other year. And, you know, some other things that are kind of like, oh, guess what? The teeth. That's always one of those that you kind of freak out on at any given time, even if it's a filling.
Yeah, because it's not fun to experience physically. And it's not fun to pay for financially.
No. So those things being as they are, I actually experienced sort of a... my own epiphany about what this time frame is about and how it has affected me this year, this time frame, and what that means that I can, especially for this particular show, what can be talked about. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much, you know, the big thing. I'll talk the epiphany later. It's, you know, part of the show.
Springtime epiphany.
It could be like instead of springtime with Hitler, we could do springtime with
it's
epiphany.
Nicer. I like
it's
that
nicer.
Better.
And, you know, it's just the weather. I mean, the weather makes you really just happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're supposed to get some rain, but who knows whether that's really going to be rain or, like, spitting kind
right.
of stuff.
Springtime California rain.
Yeah. So, and my daughter decided she's taking after Mom. I have purple hair. My hair is not high purple, but with my gray, it does have texture in terms of colors. My daughter decided after being with long, long hair, with a medium brown hair color, she has decided to go black.
Wow.
But she went black with blue highlighting.
Sure.
And I have been very nervous about this, mostly because I know how much she loves her hair, and, you know, black is not something you can take out.
Right.
You got to let it grow out.
Right.
And so it was a gift. I had done that for Christmas. I paid her hairstylist for the whole thing.
That's a good gift.
Yeah. I thought it was, if nothing else, it's like mom-daughter kind of bond.
Yeah.
And she sent me some photographs when she got it all done. And I'm not kidding you. It is stunning.
Nice.
And I kind of look at her like a Morticia, but not with that pale look.
Yeah.
She doesn't have the pale look. She definitely has the Italian look.
Yeah.
But stunning. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's my baby.
Oh,
so
sweet.
That was the again, it was a springtime. It was like mom and then daughter and, you know, like the Demeter Persephone thing.
Sure.
And I was like, wow. So
that's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was my other joyous moment here.
Good.
So, with that in mind, I guess what we should do is start talking about spring.
Spring equinox.
We do have one thing we can read. We have this wonderful book called A Book of Pagan Prayer.
Yes.
And
you may have heard us use it.
We've used it before. And so there is one little prayer that would be nice to say, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
And then we will jump in to the mush and the mire.
Do it.
Okay. The snow sinks back into the earth, there to nourish the sleeping life that waits patiently for its time to come. Goddess of spring, you have performed the miracle through many ages. Transform again the frozen white into the pliant green. Work again the ancient magic and bring spring to our land.
Blessed be.
Yes, blessed be.
Okay.
Ah, now we're centered in spring.
Ah, let's breathe. Everyone, let's breathe into that.
Oh, that feels good.
Yeah, it did.
Yes.
It's amazing how just an intentional breath can just bring you to presence.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, springtime.
Springtime.
What is the spring equinox? Phoenix?
Well, let's see. What's funny is, you know, I like to talk about the science-y stuff because science is just the principles of witchcraft finally coming, you know, getting caught up with, you know, all of these things that science and physics and everything are now having these big revelations, witches and pagans are like, yeah, we've known that for like ever. Exciting. So I like to talk about the science-y stuff, but what I was realizing when I was doing all my research is we did this show already for the fall equinox.
Of course we did. Ostensibly, yes. We're just reversing one side of the energy pattern to the other.
Right. And again, as we mentioned for the fall equinox, as we here in the Northern Hemisphere are moving into this period of growth and fecundity,
mm-hmm.
the Southern Hemisphere are coming into that time of withdrawal and then the winter and,
right.
and all of that. So we are at the balance point once again, and
mm-hmm.
the equinox is that balance point.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who may be curious, the actual vernal equinox will be on March 20th at 10:29, and that's UTC. That's the median timeline.
Right.
So there you go. If you want to have some special fancy ritual right at the moment, that's your moment. March 20th.
March 20th. Wow. Well, I think I will just sort of hang in there for
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah. But, you know, this is the moment where the Earth's tilt on its axis is at a balance point.
Mm-hmm.
And I found something online, actually, that is very interesting. From the Earth-centered view, for us on the planet, the equinox is the moment where our celestial equator, or that great circle in the sky that divides us into the two hemispheres, that equator is right above the Earth's equator, right?
Wow.
So that's what we experience.
Mm-hmm.
From Earth in space, it's a little bit different because we don't orbit upright. We're not a perfect globe,
mm-hmm.
right? We're tilted
mm-hmm.
by 23 and a half degrees.
Mm.
And from the Earth and space view, the Earth's northern and southern hemisphere trade places in receiving the light and the warmth more directly. So we have the equinox twice a year when the light and the warmth shifts from a higher focus on the north or the south.
Wow.
So it's a little bit different than what we experience on the planet.
On the planet.
What the planet is actually experiencing.
Isn't that interesting how, I mean, that again puts us back to the concept of I, as a person, experience this,
mm-hmm.
but then the spiritual aspect, which is what you were experiencing in that trance state that you were with,
right.
with the group, the coven, is a bigger one, and it
right.
has a slightly different feel to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the two viewpoints, that always fascinates me that we find it in the, I don't want to call it duality, but the complementary aspect of it.
Right.
So that kind of makes me think of we are the big picture outside of our little world
yeah.
and the world that we inhabit on the planet itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And this moment, the vernal equinox, the spring equinox, is when everything comes into balance and the rays of the sun are divided equally
mm-hmm.
across the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's super cool.
Yeah.
It's just thinking about balance and the balance of light and day, the balance of the sun's rays.
Mm-hmm.
Not even thinking, okay, we didn't talk about this beforehand. I'm just kind of going off.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about the balance of light and dark and how, you know, I don't like to equate darkness with bad and lightness with good
mm-hmm.
because that's fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
But if we think of it as the sun's rays being equally split,
mm.
that feels different
mm-hmm.
than light and dark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The sun's rays are equally split.
Right.
I don't know what it is about that concept, but I really am enjoying it at the moment.
When she enjoys it, her face lights up, so she's splitting her light and dark.
I'm going to stay with that. That's going to be my meditation until the equinox, the sun's rays being equally split.
There you are.
Anyway.
Well, hey, you know, that's the whole point is that, you know, the night and day are equal,
yeah.
you know, the internal and external are equal. It is
mm-hmm.
a moment.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Literally a moment.
Yeah.
Because the one thing that we were talking about and I was raising that same point that we obviously must have raised at the autumn equinox.
Sure.
Was the fact that we wind up with this figure eight, at least that's how I see it, this loop. And as we cross that loop to make another loop for the figure eight to happen, it's that moment in between that is that still point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, it's like everything pauses for a moment. And if you think of your breath,
yeah,
you will breathe in and you'll breathe out, but there's always a pause.
Right, right.
And that pause is that moment of equilibrium right
yeah.
there.
And that's also a whole concept in specific religions, and I am not remembering which one. I want to say it's Judaism, but the space in between the letters,
yes.
God resides, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
and
that same idea, the pause in between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we're either bringing in or letting go.
Yeah.
And living or dying,
right.
You know, the two, the concepts, it's not that, it's really not a duality.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tried very hard to make a belief system that it's a duality.
Sure.
It really is more of a flow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that flow is what we as witches see as part of life. So, you know, as things are starting to move and get warmer and get more active.
Right.
Then we're starting to, you know, bring that energy, moving it forward into the year.
Right.
So, and you know, we have all kinds of things, you know, in terms of situations like, the Hopi celebrations. There are a couple of them that, you know, they have that happen at the same time,
mm-hmm.
as well as, you know, what we have. There are all these cultures that have some form, whether it's ancient cultures or present day,
yeah.
that always had some kind of celebration around this time frame.
Right, and because it can be clearly marked. Again,
mm-hmm.
you know, we talked about this also at the solstices,
mm-hmm.
right? This is a phenomenon that when you're not distracted by television and the internet, if your entertainment
mm-hmm.
is watching the stars and the moon and the
mm-hmm.
sun,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it is obvious when the hours of the daylight and the hours of the night are the same.
Right.
It's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And so our ancestors took note of this, and they celebrated these moments. They marked these moments with Stonehenge and, you know, and other sacred sites.
Right.
And what I have found in some of my research today, which I had not known before, is on the equinox, and I am assuming that this is true for both equinoxes.
Mm-hmm.
But on the equinox, you can discover what true east is where you live.
Yes.
Because the sun will rise in
true east.
Only on the equinox.
Exactly. Isn't that, that is so, and we are sure even, well, and again, you'll have to see, because if you're cloudy,
yeah.
it's still where the light starts to come forward.
Yeah.
And that was, I did the same research and I saw that and I went, oh my God, that is true. These true east and true west.
Right.
In terms of where you are in the universe and where you live.
Yeah, I feel like that should be like our homework for anyone listening, you know, for the equinox. Get up, go outside, watch the sunrise on the equinox and
mm-hmm.
discover the true east of where you are.
Right.
How cool is that?
That is cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And it's interesting because, again, we're talking, you know, we're talking about a lesser Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So even though the others have, quote, greater power in one way.
Mm-hmm.
This has a different flow and a different power, and it is a subtler one.
Right, right. Because we're talking about the wheel of the year, right? And we have these eight holidays
mm-hmm.
on the wheel of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the equinoxes hold 2 points across from each other. The solstices hold 2 points across from each other. And those are considered the minor holidays. I'm
right.
air quoting those
mm-hmm.
words. And then we have Samhain, Imbolc, Beltane, and Lammas or Lunasa that are considered the major holidays, again with air quotes. But really from an astrological perspective, from an astronomy perspective, the solstices and the equinox are when actually shit's happening.
Exactly.
The other ones are the in-between points.
Exactly.
It's so funny what us humans and what we've created.
What we created, yeah. And I know that they're, you know, especially the in-betweens
mm-hmm.
are the fire. They're the fire ones, you
right.
know, and it's like the fire. And I'm thinking, yes, but these others have this strength
mm-hmm.
that
the planet.
It's the planet. So we're on. So, and it's interesting because when the Christians took over, of course, we are going to always talk about the Christians at some point because,
oh, yeah.
yes, this
dominant
is part of
paradigm and all.
They basically changed it. And, you know, they took it to take place on the first Sunday after the first full moon.
Hmm.
So it's movable.
Hmm.
They made it a movable holiday or a movable point of reference as opposed to what we see as a time frame.
Right.
When it's an actual astronomical event.
Right. It's a thing that's really happening. It's
yeah.
not, you know, one, we could postulate that Samhain or Halloween, however you want to list All Hallows Eve.
Mm-hmm.
We just made that up. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's just a thing that people made up. It's no big deal. Sure. Okay, fine. But
right.
but the equinox is a thing that's actually happening to our planet. It's there is an energy literally of balance on
right.
our planet. And that may only be a moment, but that, you know, we can tap into that moment for a much longer moment.
Right. Just
know?
Like when we talk about full moons and
yeah.
you know, new moons that you know the day before and the day after are within the window of opportunity, so to speak.
Right.
So but again, we're looking at a time of cleansing and renewal.
Right.
So as we cleanse to let go of the things that we have had in the, you know, that have cluttered ourselves, be that house or personal situations, emotional, we do cleansing. That's what everybody talks about, spring cleaning.
Right.
You know?
And I found myself doing it already, and maybe that's just because Northern California, our spring really does start earlier. You know, we're our rainy season when most people have spring is earlier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I've been going through my house and purging and getting rid of things and cleaning things and reorganizing.
Right.
That's the energetic of what is happening in the air. It's
right.
what's coming through. And there is something about that, about, you know, spring. What seeds am I planting?
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to give my energy to?
Mm-hmm.
What do I want to see grow? And what weeds are getting in the way
right.
that I need to get rid of?
Right.
What plant life has taken over my garden
mm-hmm.
that doesn't need to be here, that
right.
I don't have space to take care of anymore?
Right, right.
No?
And it's as I say, it can be anything from physical to mental and emotional and, mm-hmm. you know, spiritual. And, that whole process is, if you, most of us who are out there in the pagan and witch community are working with the cycles and the energies and the flow. So most of us are already in that space and we feel it. We
right.
start to move with it, just
right.
like you were talking about, you moving with it. It isn't just, oh, yeah, we're about maybe 1 month out before spring hits officially or whatever.
Right.
And I really see that as a feel.
Yeah.
And that feel is what the magic comes from. Any magic we ever do is
yeah.
from that feel.
Right. Right. And often we refer to the spring equinox as the first day of spring.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true in some parts of the world, but in other parts of the world, it's been spring for a long time already.
Right.
Or it's still snowing. And
right.
spring is still months away.
Right.
You know, or again, if you're looking at our hemispheres, we're talking a whole other argument.
And on the other side.
You know, so it's not that it's the first day of spring. It's, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it is the tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
It is the shifting of energy from the dormant period to the growing period.
Exactly.
Right? So for me, it almost feels like, well, this is the end of winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if we were to split the timeline into half,
mm-hmm.
and the equinoxes are those points of where we half,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
this is the tipping point into summer.
Right.
And the equinox in the fall is a tipping point into winter.
Yeah.
If we wanted to super simplify it, you know.
Well, that's as simple as we can get. I mean, without,
yeah.
you know, going too much into it. And it's interesting because one of the things I found is that the church actually celebrates, it technically is March 23rd, is the Annunciation.
What is the Annunciation?
The Annunciation is when Gabriel tells...
That's the angel?
The angel Gabriel, okay. Archangel Gabriel
yeah,
tells...
Talks to me like I'm 5 and in Bible school because I don't know any of this stuff.
Well, it's because most of what happens here is that what you see is how they shift it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, we said March 21st, usually 20th, 21st, 22nd, usually within that little period. What they're doing is going with the Annunciation. It's the announcement mm. that she is pregnant.
Oh.
The Annunciation. And Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel, comes to tell her this.
Surprise.
You're miraculously virgin, you are now pregnant. So they kind of throw that one in there.
Okay, I'm counting on my fingers. March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. That would be 9 months.
Yeah.
I had to count that on my fingers.
Well,
I'm a genius.
They figured that, again, it's if you figure you have a certain group of people that aren't willing to give up what they're doing,
right.
Yeah, make something around the whole process. And, of course, we also know that, you know, the aspects
mm-hmm.
of what the different religions have done, and mostly in our Western Hemisphere and the Western traditions, is that you have Christianity that has tried to, in some form, if it hasn't dominated to kill,
mm-hmm.
it was also to overtake and make close enough so people will be willing to,
right.
to go along
right.
with
it. Oh, no, we don't call that Samhain. We call that All Hallows Eve.
Right.
Do it this way, and then you won't be going to hell.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the same thing is with this one, because this is a literal point of reference where they would take babies are being born, a lot of them that were conceived during a darker period of time, and you know the time of that. You're having plants come up. You're having the
Well, Beltane babies would be born about
yeah,
now, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So during that time frame. Yep, she's counting on her fingers again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the people and their way of life had to be incorporated in the shifting.
Right.
And I found it just, I was kind of like, wow. Because, of course, the Annunciation to me may not be something I agreed with in a religious point of view,
mm-hmm.
but I was very privileged to go to the Vatican and the museum and see Da Vinci's Annunciation.
Mm.
And art is beautiful. It's awesome. The things are, but I stood in front of that painting and cried.
Yeah.
And I'm not Catholic, and I'm not part of that belief system in that sense. But it was so moving.
Yeah.
Because of what it meant, whether it was for March 23rd, the Annunciation, and a spiritual virginal birth by this particular religious belief system,
right.
or it was just birth.
Right.
It was this, the conception of life.
Right.
And that was, I was like, ugh.
No.
So it was amazing to see that, and it kind of felt weird. You know, you go into this beautiful museum, and you go into Vatican City area, and you're like, I'm in the other camp.
You're in enemy territory.
Enemy territory.
Watch out, you might be on fire or something.
Something. But it was fascinating because I've been lucky enough to do a lot of things, but this was where art was. This was where all of these things were that we read about and we see, or movies are made of and we see by virtue
right.
of the movies. And there was such a feel. Even though I was, as I say, in a place, I was a little bit kind of like going, okay.
Right.
Keep my guard up, keep my energy field going. But that being said, it's a time where at this point, people start in more agrarian places, they start collecting wood for Beltane.
Oh, right.
So some of the, the wood for Beltane, wood for wands, wood for the brooms, if you're going to make your own brooms.
Right.
So that was something. The thing I felt interesting about was that, and this we'll talk about this as I think a thing to do, is a witch's bottle.
Ah.
And it's a protection bottle.
Nice.
Yes, but I'll talk about that after break.
Okay.
But,
ooh, exciting.
Yes. Wow. Okay, so what else do you want to say about the spring equinox?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said about the overlay of Easter and spring equinox, and I think we'll talk about this a little bit more after the break as well. But I don't know that I want to spend a ton of time talking about the overlay of the
uh-huh.
of Easter.
Uh-huh.
There is a lot of wrong information out there on
right.
the internet, though, and one of the things that is I find especially sort of troublesome is of this idea of Ishtar being the original origins of Easter. It's just not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And every year I see people post the memes on Facebook and the things that are like, oh, it's not really about Jesus, it's about Ishtar. That's not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not accurate. And, it sounds similar, Ishtar, Easter, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we have to keep in mind that most of the words, most of the terms, most of the phraseology that we're using in modern paganism is from Celtic or Anglo-Saxon cultures,
mm-hmm.
right? These are not Middle Eastern, they're not African, they're not Asian, they're from European cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because some of the forebears of our witchcraft tradition were white dudes.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s and 70s and 80s, who made a lot of this stuff up. And even earlier than that, if we want to go back to Gerald Gardner himself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
These are white dudes who put together these systems of beliefs. So a lot of it is based on white European cultures.
Right.
Whatever. You know, it is what it is. But I'll talk about this a little bit more probably just because it always makes me cranky and I get my panties in a wad about it. But especially the equinoxes for some reason, I hate Mabon. I don't want to call the equinox Mabon ever again.
And we'll just say that this one time more.
Yeah, the fall equinox. And then the spring equinox being called Ostara.
Right.
And we will, after the break, talk about the origins of Ostara and the goddess Eostre and all of this fun stuff. But again, we mentioned Aidan Kelly, who was a theologian back in the 80s and 70s, and he was involved in a lot of modern pagan systems. And he went through the Wheel of the Year and thought, well, we have all these cool names like Samhain and Beltane, but then we just have the equinoxes, and decided that they needed cool names too. So he assigned them cool names, Ostara and Mabon. There is really no cultural or historical reason,
mm-hmm.
especially for Mabon, but for Ostara
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just this one dude decided that that sounded nice and we should do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's created a lot of confusion for people who think that, oh, this is based on some ancient system. It's not.
No.
So, you know, do your research. Look into this stuff.
Look into it. Check it out.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've been saying Ostara for 40 years now, so there is, like, okay, that's got some time beneath it, but want. Makes me cranky. And.
But, again, that's also because when you take something either and people have their belief systems of what is traditional.
Yes.
And the historical traditional.
Right.
And the oral traditions that were before the written historical traditions.
Right.
And then you have it change from oral to written, it gets modified. And then down the written, people change it a bit too.
It's translated.
It gets translated differently.
Yeah.
And so there is always modification.
Yes.
And then people revise it because guess what? We are not living on the land, tilling our soil, and dealing with our cows and our chickens and our world. We are sitting in houses and places. We go to the grocery store and buy prepackaged items that, you know, we try to stay healthy on or don't care either way. And we're not doing it the way our ancestors
right.
did. So to change it, maybe that's part of the evolution.
Sure.
But you have to know that it is not what was original.
Right. And we don't know what was original.
Exactly.
We don't. And there are, we can glean, we can make assumptions, we can play, we can assume, we can do all of these
right.
things. And that's totally okay.
Right.
Totally okay. But then to get in a war on Facebook because you know that this is true, that Ostara is the ancient goddess of the Anglo-Saxons and that it was handed down lineage by, no, I'm sorry, that's just not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's not okay to use that phraseology if you like it.
Right.
But also know that that's a 40-year-old tradition and not a 4,000-year-old tradition.
Right.
And it
right.
doesn't make it any better or any worse. It's just your mileage is going to vary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
You're free to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not be angry with you if you like it.
There you go.
I might roll my eyes. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, see, and think of the Mediterranean. They're dealing with Demeter and Persephone.
Right.
You know, and that's how they saw spring
yeah.
and fall come.
Right. Their whole cycle is different.
Is different than the Anglo-Saxons
yes.
and the Northern
yeah.
European people. Yeah. And that's the same what people as, you know, we have here.
And that is something that is, you know, I talk about cultural context all the time. I talk about it on our show every freaking week.
Mm-hmm.
I lead monthly goddess workshops, and I talk about cultural context. We try and put all of these cultures into one basket and say, this is paganism, or this was our ancient ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that simple. It's very complicated.
Right.
The regionality of these things is so much smaller than we can possibly comprehend because our world is now small, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We can talk to someone in a country anywhere at any time because of the internet. But back, our ancestors who created these celebrations, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been difficult for them to even talk to the next village.
Right.
Right? So our world has gotten smaller. We can't possibly comprehend what life was like for our ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
can fantasize, but we can't really comprehend.
Right. And, you know, I mean, we have limited, there are places that are considered outback areas.
Right.
But literally, as you say, you can get a computer, you get a smartphone, and you're still connected to the world.
You know? All right. On that note, we should probably take a break.
Take a break.
We'll be back.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candelo's Corner with Candelo Camisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. Bit of Boxu with Madame Naya and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific. Add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
We're back! Okay, so that was it. Now what I have, I guess, is what do we want to go with? We want to do some things of the things that are associated, like, you know, items, lily, you know, daffodil.
Let's do some associations.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about
what to do.
Yeah, and a little bit about the goddess.
Yes.
Who causes all the controversy.
Yes. Okay, so let us go with, what are the things that seem to be correspondences for this particular holiday? We have eggs.
Eggs.
We have the rabbit.
Bunnies.
Bunnies. And we have the lily.
Lilies.
Lily, yes. So, among other things. But
yes,
those are the main ones. And obviously, it's interesting because they all have, like, these embellishments, but when you get down to it, little hares, actually the H-A-R-E, which are bunnies, were considered by the church to be evil.
Well, get this. You probably already know this, but
it's okay.
Bunnies, rabbits, hares congregate in circles at the full moon.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a real, legit thing, animal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know why they do it. They don't know what the heck's going on, but it has been documented many times that rabbits will congregate during full moons, and they congregate in circles.
Ooh.
What? No wonder they thought they were evil, because that is some witchy shit right there.
It is. It is.
Love it.
And part of it was also because in the Bible, it was considered for cud-chewing animals. It was considered evil or, you know, subhuman, some issue that they had with it. And rabbits, because they twitch their nose so quickly, look like they were chewing.
Oh.
Yes, I know.
I thought they were cud-chewers.
Cud-chewers, yeah, I know.
How funny.
And I thought I read that and I'm going, well, darned if that doesn't make me, you know, kind of think that was, and it was really, it was the dogmatic constitution. It was published in that in 1965, and it was also in Leviticus 11:6.
Right. Leviticus, I hear, is full of interesting things.
Oh, it is. It is. And as far as the controversy, Pope XIII, basically in his encyclopedic book, same thing. It doesn't matter if it didn't make sense. It was, that was the way it was going to be.
Hmm.
So, obviously,
bunnies are bad.
Bunnies are bad.
Well,
but
for those who are fans of Buffy, Anya,
uh-huh,
very afraid of bunnies, and Anya is a demon.
Uh-huh.
She finds bunnies to be the most scary thing on the planet.
So that must be something good for us.
There, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know that. So obviously, you know, we had the Queen Boudica's banners had the moon bunny or the moon hare on it.
Right. So, okay, say how you just pronounced her name again.
I said Boudica.
Boudica. I've heard Boudicca and
uh-huh,
Boudica.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
She is a warrior queen from the Iceni tribe in England,
mm-hmm,
in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And she fought against the Romans very successfully. She is a badass female warrior. I won't go into her whole story, but she also used the hare to do divination on how to fight the Romans.
Oh, my
She would release a rabbit onto the battlefield and watch how it ran, and that's how she would attack.
Now that is neat.
Yeah, and she was very successful in beating the Romans.
Oh, well.
Yes.
So do we do that with any of our politicians?
Well, she did sack London.
Yeah, that's true. She did do that.
Yeah.
Well, and then, of course, the other thing is because some of the Celts in ancient times would look at the moon and they would see the shape of a hare or bunny on it.
Yes, it's upside down.
Yes.
But when you go to Australia,
it's right side up.
And that, let me tell you, that is a trip.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, so, and that they designated the one thing in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
I love those Scots. Hares and cats were designated familiars of witches.
Cute.
Yes. They just, that was it. Those two, automatically, you're a witch.
Well, and I hear you can train a rabbit litterbox.
Yes, you can.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't necessarily do that with my rabbits, but my cats and my rabbits like to play out in the backyard when I had them.
Cute.
Yes, I know. And they didn't try to kill each other. I was very excited. So I guess there are certain things that you can live in, you know, in a complementary environment.
Right.
And then let's go to eggs, because we know that rabbits bring eggs.
Right? Obviously.
I mean, come on.
Obviously.
Okay. So eggs, on the other hand, of course, we know that this is new life. It's, mm-hmm, you know, the whole idea of fundicity and all that wonderful stuff. And painting them were usually red, mm-hmm, which was the life blood, the
right,
goddess, the life blood.
Right.
Anything you want to grab onto at this point on that?
Well, it kind of goes into Yoster, right? So the story, the sweet story that's become very modern,
mm-hmm,
and this is loosely based on ancestry and old information, but the
right,
sweet story is that there was the goddess of spring was this young, beautiful maiden, and she was so beautiful that all of the woodland creatures fell in love with her, and the rabbit loved her the most.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to impress this beautiful spring maiden and to help cheer her as she went about her work of bringing the world into life,
mm-hmm,
bringing spring forward,
mm-hmm,
the rabbit went and collected all of the most beautiful eggs from all of the different nests in the forest, and then brought them to her as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Okay, well, I'll give you one more on a myth.
Yeah.
This one I found, you said that, and I'm going, she's going to say it, and then you didn't. You went off in a different direction.
Ah.
But it seems that Ostara, late in spring, was bringing the year to bear, and she found her energy. She found this little bird that had been frozen in the ice, and so it could never fly. And with her compassion, she said that she would give it life again. But she basically turned it into a bunny and gave it speed so it could feel the speed of what it used to feel like in the wind.
Mm.
But once a year, she would let it bear little eggs, that it could lay little eggs as a remembrance to its bird-like form that it had been resurrected and brought into a new form of a hare. Yes. I thought that was kind of interesting. So that was a nice way to kind of get around, you know, the idea of a rabbit and eggs.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, and we know that Yoster,
mm-hmm,
also sometimes called Ostara, This is a Germanic goddess. This,
yes.
Is, there is evidence that this is a Germanic goddess.
Uh-huh.
And the name for the month of April, I'm not even going to try and pronounce any of these German words or Saxon words, but it is Eöster month if
mm-hmm.
you were to translate it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only real evidence we have historically, right, is Beattie's writing,
mm-hmm.
Who was a well-known, what's the word I want to use? He wrote stuff down. He paid attention. He asked questions and he wrote stuff. He was a historian.
Historian. Right? Mm-hmm.
So in the 8th century, he wrote a work called The Reckoning of Time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where he attests to Eöster existing and her feasts and the traditions that took place.
Right.
And this was in the modern Christian month of Paschal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'm saying that right either, but that's the resurrection of Jesus' month.
Right.
There is no evidence of anything about this goddess from before Beattie's writing, but that doesn't mean it wasn't happening.
Right.
Right? So do what you want. But for folks don't know, he's now been sainted. And he was from Northumbria, which is in England.
Uh-huh.
And there is other evidence in Northumbria of a goddess, Ostara.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is this curiosity of, okay, did he bring Ostara to
right.
Umbria? Was because there was a huge Anglo-Saxon population
mm-hmm.
here? Is this just crossover from old Germanic stuff?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Right.
You can do all of the research that you want and maybe never come up with a clear answer. But it's interesting things to ponder.
Right.
And if he created Eöster, it was in the 8th century. She's pretty old.
Yeah.
Pretty old.
Yep. Pretty old maiden, don't you think?
And we also have evidence. Yeah, absolutely. Old maiden. the Grimm brothers,
mm-hmm.
specifically one of the Grimm brothers, and I can't find in my note which one, but they were amazing historians. Jacob Grimm. They were collectors of folktales.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just curiosities about stories. They were gathering the culture of
mm-hmm.
their people.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of brushed them aside as like, oh, they just collected these stories. No, no, they were collecting more than that. And the Grimm, Jacob Grimm specifically, had some feelings about Eöster. He believes that she's actually an ancient goddess, and he wrote about it at length.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some things here about her. We could talk about this for hours. And
right.
if you want to talk about her for hours, come to California on Thursday, on the 23rd. I'm doing a workshop on Eöster.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of interesting evidence that does suggest that she might be more ancient than we may
mm-hmm.
give credit.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, one of the things now, obviously decorating them in Ukraine, they have a whole major
beautiful.
Thing about beauty and how they do it and the patterns and, you know, triangles and lines around, like, you know, the encompassing circular thing is very important, that has meaning about encompassing and protecting. And, you know, it's like a whole, I want to say almost like divination. It has its own system.
Right.
And
if you look at the origins, we're talking about ancient Germanic culture, which would have been part, the Ukraine
mm-hmm.
is part of that,
mm-hmm.
right? So
mm-hmm.
these are systems and traditions that are very old and steeped in ancient,
right.
ancient ideas.
Right.
Yeah.
So they would put some of the things you get. You actually, I don't know how we could do this, but I know if you know, people that make glass eggs and things,
mm-hmm.
you hang it in the window as a protection. So with the design that is on it, it represents like hanging a protective shield up,
right?
Which was interesting, and I thought,
right.
well, that gives another reason for an egg. But I wouldn't necessarily want to do a real animal egg because
right.
they are very fragile. And think about what you do with curtains and blinds and everything. I don't think it'd last.
Yeah. Okay. What are the so? I don't. Can we talk about some traditions or things?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I was.
No, we haven't done it yet.
Shifting gears before you were ready.
Oh, I don't mind.
One of the things my family used to do, and now that all of the kids are older, we haven't done this for a couple of years, but we used to decorate eggs,
uh-huh.
right, like you do traditionally, you see people do for Easter.
Uh-huh.
We would, you know, we would buy the little paws kit.
Oh, yes.
Hard-boil eggs and make eggs. And then we would always set, there's five of us in the family, so we would set five aside, and we would poke a hole in the top and the bottom of the egg and then blow out the yolk.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd try and make something with eggs
mm-hmm.
that night for dinner or whatever, but we would blow out the yolks, and fill them with water and shake them up and let them dry, and then we would stuff them with confetti.
Ooh.
And then for the equinox, we would have, no matter what, we would try to go to a park, but if it just if we weren't feeling it or if the weather was kind of crap, we would eat dinner outside.
Mm-hmm.
And or have lunch outside. But we'd have some sort of outdoor meal,
mm-hmm.
and then we would throw the eggs at each other.
Hey, better than paint guns. Cool.
We would have this celebration and have fun and play a game, mm-hmm. and, you know, throw eggs at each other and spill confetti everywhere. Biodegradable confetti, I will add.
Uh-huh.
No glitter or anything like that, just biodegradable papers.
Biodegradable papers.
But it's a lot of fun, and it's that celebration, like, oh, the energy returning, the light returning.
Right.
Outdoors. And
right.
Some of that.
Right.
Oh, it's one of our family traditions.
Neat.
Yeah.
Well, just as a side note, one of the things I did find is how they thought of eggs. The internal, the yolk,
mm-hmm.
was the male. And the white was the female. So one represented the god and one represented the goddess.
Interesting.
And the goddess, the white, held the male, the yolk,
mm-hmm.
for the birth.
Decorating, I love decorating. It's fun. You get kind of dirty and your fingers all end up being dyed different colors.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to try something new this year that I'm going to do for the Ostara, the Eoster goddess gathering,
uh-huh.
next week. But I found this video online of naturally dyeing eggs, which I've done before.
Uh-huh.
You use purple cabbage, uh-huh. or onions or turmeric or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But if you lay like a flower on the shell of the,
uh-huh.
egg, and then you tie it in a pantyhose, a nylon,
uh-huh.
it holds that flower in place.
Uh-huh.
Then you put it in the cabbage and you boil it,
uh-huh.
and then it dyes the egg blue or purple, but it leaves the flower print white.
Wow.
So these eggs are gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to try this,
uh-huh.
and then I'm going to draw runes on the eggs, which,
uh-huh.
is another tradition we often,
uh-huh.
do in the North Bay reclaiming,
right.
rituals, is,
uh-huh.
we hide eggs with runes drawn on them. Runes are Germanic and Norwegian, and, you know, they come from that Norse mythology system.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a divination system, the runes.
Uh-huh.
And so you go on your egg hunt, and you find an egg with a magical symbol on it, and then you can decide, okay, is this, do your research, is this a symbol I want to work with? Is this,
uh-huh.
is this something I want to really take on?
Uh-huh.
And then you eat the egg intentionally.
Wow.
You are imbibing the energy of that rune.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. That's interesting and very enlightening.
Yeah.
Well, we also have the lily, which is another aspect or correspondence for this time frame. And
I find that one interesting. In many cultures, lily is a death flower.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. And it was funny because one of the other things, is the daffodil, but I couldn't find daffodils. I was trying to find it for the altar, and I couldn't find it because here in Northern California, they all bloomed, and they're now gone.
Yeah.
So I couldn't quite get anything that I could put on our altar for them. But if you think of the lily, it is a three-aspected. It has a certain way of,
mm-hmm.
its flower, and I think it's the container, the cup,
right.
the chalice, it represents that process. And so there's a certain symbology of the feminine energy being the container for the creative aspect, which we're, you know, going into as the earth warms and we start getting flowers and things like that,
right.
growing. So that's that. And before we go into what we're going to do, what we suggest you do for this time frame, one of the things that I had brought up was, you know, this is a time also of the dying and rising God.
Yeah.
And we also know it as, you know, the Christ time, but there is also other traditions that have the, you know, the death and rebirth king.
Yeah.
And to me, I looked at it and they said, what is resurrection? And it's basically, the definitions I found were very interesting. It says, outwardly religious perspective is a cycle of nature, but inwardly spiritual perspective is a soul ascending to higher planes of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So taking it from a myth,
right.
and utilizing it as a consciousness of what you do, you have your cycle of life coming to birth, coming forward after the death, but the soul. And the soul is immortal, but it is rising to another vibration.
Yeah.
And that was what my epiphany was, actually, was seeing this in my life as things are happening to my personal life and what it's representing in time of in tune with this time frame,
right,
which fascinated me because over my period of time in exploration, I've worked with ascension people and I've worked with all different aspects of spirituality that I could find. And this is actually a grounded point of reference,
mm-hmm,
to take it in terms of this. So I just wanted to share that.
Nice. That's so awesome.
Yeah, there you go. So what do we do at this time frame? What can we give people as homework?
Well, depending on where you live, I highly encourage people to go outside.
Ah, yes. Good idea.
Even if that is in your snowsuit for 5 minutes. Go outside on the equinox and just acknowledge this is a transition point.
Right.
This is a transition point.
Uh-huh.
The other thing that I like to do around the equinox, specifically the spring equinox, is to burn old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I teach a lot, and often in my classes I like people to have takeaways. So I end up making, you know, mojos or bundles or little magic trinkets that,
uh-huh,
that we all make together in the workshop. But then I end up with all of these magic trinkets that I'm not necessarily working with anymore.
Right, right.
And instead of just throwing that stuff away, I need to release it because it's been created magically. It needs to be released magically. So on the equinox, I like to burn all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let go of my magical tchotchkes.
Uh-huh. There you go. There you go. Well, definitely, that is, it's interesting because, you know, in working with different clients, you know, and I do some of the work with them as well as have them do their work, and I do that on a regular basis, as I burn all of the things that I have done for the clients if I still, you know, like certain things.
Yeah.
Or I release the energy for them at that point. But this is much bigger. It's kind of a whole year's worth of whatever you've collected. So there are things that maybe you've made that, you know, you're not working with anymore.
Right.
So it would be a good time to release it.
Right.
Definitely.
Right. I think it's also a fun time of the year to start planting things intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a big project or something you're really excited about, getting some seeds and infusing them with that goal and working with them not just as a plant that's going to grow, but as your thing that's going to grow.
Right.
And adding that intention to anything that you plant and doing some spell work or whatever around the seeds that you plant, metaphorically and physically.
Yeah, that's incorporating both energies.
Right.
Yes, because I know that we talk about things to do and, you know, these are just items to start your imagination going. Okay, so with that in mind, we've kind of covered on a fairly good basis the spring equinox, things to do, places to go, people to see.
Yeah, I got to be on my soapbox about stuff.
I'm impressed.
Favorite things.
Hey, you know. So obviously a couple of little reminders. Next week we will be doing daily practices. So that will be interesting for both of us to describe and discuss.
Yeah.
And then the other one is to remind people to
go to our website, witchpriestesscauldron.com. If you go to our website, there is a option to go to the page to ask a witch. And at the end of the month, on the 31st, we'll be incorporating a new segment into our show called Ask a Witch. So you can ask us a question that you might have about witchcraft or paganism, or you can ask us to pull some cards on something going on in your life that you might like some help with.
Mm-hmm.
Elvira and I will do short three-card readings on any questions that come in, and we'll read them out over on the air. So write in. We have a few already that are in the pipeline, and we would love to have some more because we're going to keep this segment going.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it like every other month or so.
Something like that, and we'll just keep that kind of involvement. So let's see. I think we pretty well got everything together.
Yeah.
All right.
Once again, thanks for listening.
Thank you. And
we'll
enjoy.
See you next week.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.
If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine. If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.